Happy Sabbath. I'm going to read John 4, verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe.
Let us turn our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1, verse 41. John chapter 1, verse 41. Speaking of Andrew, Peter's brother, it reads, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. So Andrew believed, he believed Jesus was the Messiah. He told Peter, we have found the Messiah. In chapter 4, we read about another man who had a willingness to believe Jesus was the Messiah. However, he laid a condition. So let's turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And we'll start with John chapter 4. We'll start with verse 46. John chapter 4, verse 46. It reads, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now, when we think of Jesus, we think of his kindness. We think of how he healed so many people. Yet here we read about a son being at the point of death. And what does Jesus say to the Father? Verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. So he tells the Father, there's something wrong with you. You won't believe unless you see signs and wonders. And he tells him this when he's asking for his dying son to be healed. Verse 49, the nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down or my child die. That means before my child dies. So I want to stop right there for a moment. For now, we'll stop right there. So this man wants his child healed. And he says to Jesus, sir, come down or my child die. So that tells us he had a measure of faith or a measure of belief. But he also had unbelief in him. Let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter 9. Before we read the rest of the story, we'll go to some other parts of the Bible. Mark, chapter 9. We read about another father who had a similar problem. Mark chapter 9, starting with verse 14. Mark 9, starting with verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. When he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. My margin for that says, or dasheth him. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. Can you imagine watching your own child in that state for so many years, from childhood up? That would be horrifying. Verse 22, And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Notice, he's showing he has some doubt here. If thou canst do anything. Continuing, Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So again, here Jesus is pointing out a downfall in the Father. He's saying, if you can believe, anything is possible with him that believes. Verse 24, And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Notice, the father admits, I have a measure of belief, but I also have some doubt. Help me. So Jesus has pity on him. Verse 25, When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. Praise God. So, Jesus cast the devil, the foul spirit, out of that man's son. But like the father in John 4, this man had doubt in him. But he cried out for help with his doubt. And sometimes, friends, that needs to be our prayer too. Whatever the situation may be, whatever the circumstances, sometimes we know our belief is not strong enough. And so we need to cry out to the Lord, saying, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I'd like to take you now to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 12, 3, For I say, though through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So God's word tells us that he has dealt to each of us a measure of faith, or he has given each of us a measure of faith. It's up to us what we will do with that measure of faith. We have to exercise that faith. The Father in Mark 9 said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And sometimes we need to, again, recognize when our belief or our faith is weak and it needs to be increased, it needs to be strengthened. The Father in John 4 showed that he had a measure of faith when he asked Jesus, Sir, come down or my child die. But again, Jesus wanted to show him that signs and wonders, we'll read the rest of it in the end, but Jesus wanted to show him that signs and wonders were not to be the basis for one's belief. Let's turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 32. Genesis 32, verse 26. Genesis 32, verse 26. This is the story of Jacob wrestling with the Lord. We won't go over the whole story, of course, but I want to read what Jacob says at the end. I want to emphasize what he says at the end of verse 26. And he, meaning the Lord, said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he, Jacob, said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. So that's another prayer that we want to make our own. When we recognize that our belief or our faith is weak and we need a decided change in the life, we need to say, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. when we need that kind, that decided a change. But wonders, friends, in this day and age that we're living in, are possibly the absolute worst thing for us to base our faith on. Our faith is to be based on evidence, not wonders. Well, see, let's see an example of that in the book of Exodus before we go back to the New Testament. Exodus chapter 8. As you all know from the story of God delivering the Israelites from Egypt, God plagued the Egyptians, and Pharaoh, every time he saw his magicians apparently performing the same miracles that God performed through Moses and Aaron, chose to believe that the miracles performed through Moses and Aaron were not from the true God. He chose to believe, my magicians can do the same thing. What you're doing is no different. But then a change took place. Exodus 8, starting with verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout the land of Egypt, throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Even Pharaoh's own magician said to him, this is the finger of God. Later in the story, one of his own servants says, why don't you let the people go and sacrifice to the Lord their God? Can't you see that Egypt is destroyed? But Pharaoh still did not want to be wrong. He refused to make a change. His heart was hardened. In a similar manner, during the time of Christ, Jesus performed miracles. Yet he was still rejected of men. The miracles were not enough. Let's turn to the book of Matthew. There was plenty of evidence for the Jewish leaders to believe, if they chose to believe. When I say the miracles were not enough, that was not any fault of the miracles. Their hearts were hardened in a similar manner. Matthew 24. We'll start with verse 23. Stay where you are in Matthew. Matthew 24. The Apostle John tells us that when Jesus comes again, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him. That's Revelation 1:7. Paul tells us that when he comes, his people meet him in the air. So when our Lord comes, he does not come down and land on this earth at his second coming. So Jesus gives a warning to us. Matthew 24, verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. There you have it again, signs and wonders. Insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The elect refers to God's chosen, those who will be gathered at Jesus' coming to meet him in the air. Verse 25, behold, I have told you before. Let's stop right there. That is a very important thing we have to keep in mind. Jesus says, "Behold, I have told you before." In other words, we have something in writing telling us this is going to happen. We have something in writing. Jesus says, "I have told you before." And of course, in verse 24, it says, deceive the very elect. To deceive means to lead somebody to believe something that is not true. A different word is used in the Mark account. I want to take you to Mark's account. Let's turn to Mark 13. Mark chapter 13. And we'll start with verse 21. It reads in Mark 13, starting with verse 21, "And then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'Lo, he is there,' believe him not." As mentioned the last time I spoke, don't go there. Continuing, verse 22, "For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders, to seduce, if it were possible, even the very elect." That's how dangerous these things are. Human beings are very susceptible to these things. We must not go there. We must not think ourselves indestructible and think, "I can go there, it won't hurt me, I won't believe." No. Our Lord said, stay away. Verse 23, "But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all these things." So again, Jesus says, "I have foretold you all these things." We have something in writing. So when these things are happening, we have something in writing that tells us these things that are going to happen, and we know that what our Lord has said is true. Amen. So we have evidence, friends. And that's what our faith is to be based on. Evidence. Now I'd like to take you, I forgot to mention, verse 22 mentions the word seduce. In Matthew it says deceive. To seduce means to lead someone astray by persuasion, to lead them into disloyalty or disobedience, again, through persuasion. That's what these wonders are already doing. Spiritualism is possibly the best example. People are being led astray by wonders, signs and wonders. Let us turn now to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Before we go back to John's gospel, we'll go to his prophetic book, Revelation, chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13 speaks of two beasts. Today I won't be explaining what they represent, but if you're here with me July 8th, that day I'll talk about what they represent. But let's read about a little bit about the second beast in Revelation 13, starting with verse 11. Revelation 13:11. John says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Verse 13. "And he doeth great wonders." There you have that again. "So that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by the sword and did live." That's talking about the first beast of Revelation 13. So this second beast also performs wonders, it says in verse 13. Verse 14, it says miracles. So people who base their belief or their faith on wonders or signs or miracles, whatever you want to call them, will be deceived by this beast. Let's read a little bit more about it in chapter 19, Revelation 19, verse 20. This is talking about the same two beasts mentioned and talked about in Revelation 13. I want to share this verse as food for thought for now. And the beast was taken, talking about the first beast of Revelation 13. And with him the false prophet. Let's find out who is this false prophet. That wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. So that second beast here is being referred to as the false prophet. And then it says, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And that will be their lot, and that will, we know from chapter 14, that will also be the lot of those who believe those wonders. Those who get deceived by them, cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Friends, let it not be one of us. Let it not be one of us. Some time ago, I heard someone say, in the New Testament, where are the miracles? He was talking about referring to the kind of miracles you read about in the Old Testament. Well, in a similar manner to when God plagued Egypt, God will plague this earth again. We won't go over it, but you can read about it in those miracles in Revelation chapters 15 and 16, the seven last plagues. Before Jesus comes, the seven last plagues will hit this earth. The miracles will happen again. But here's the part that other people don't understand, the part we need to remember. Our Lord has foretold us that those things will happen. So again, what do we have? We have something in writing for them. So when the seven last plagues do hit, when we see those signs and wonders, they will also become further evidence because they will match up with what the Lord has foretold us in His Word. So that's why, again, wonders alone are not a basis for our faith. Our faith is to be based on evidence. Let's turn to chapter 16 of Revelation. And we'll read verses 13 and 14. As mentioned, this is the chapter that talks about the seven last plagues. But let's find out the source of power for those who are performing signs and wonders that are not of God. What is the source of power? Revelation 16, verses 13 and 14. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So again, talking about the two beasts of Revelation 13. Verse 14, for they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Notice it says in verse 14, they are the spirits of devils working miracles. That tells us, friends, that the devils, even Satan himself, are capable of working miracles. Their miracle working power, we have to remember, is limited. It's also deceiving. Remember, Paul warns us that Satan's apostles, remember what apostle means, one who is sent. Paul warns us in the book of 2 Corinthians, Satan's apostles will appear as apostles of Christ. Satan himself will appear as an angel of light. Again, friends, we don't want our faith to be based on wonders. It must be based on evidence. So now let's go back to John chapter 4 and read the rest of that story. Jesus wanted to heal the child in both stories, John 4 and Mark 9. But he also wanted there to be a decided change in the Father in both stories. He wanted the Father to believe in Mark chapter 9. He wanted the Father to believe. And here he also wants the Father to believe. This Father won't believe unless he sees signs and wonders. So let's read again, verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, or my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. Praise God. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. We'll stop right there for a moment. You know what that tells us, friends? Jesus performed that miracle. He performed that sign. He performed that wonder. But the Father was not privileged to see it. He needed to believe the word that Jesus spoke to him when he said, Thy son liveth. He needed to believe. He needed a faith based on evidence, not wonders. Verse 52. We'll watch. Watch and see what happens next. That his faith continues to build on evidence. Verse 52. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Praise God. But notice, the evidence increased. First he needed to believe what Jesus said to him, Thy son liveth, go. Then when he got home, his servants met him, and he asked them what hour. The seventh hour, the same hour Jesus told him, Thy son liveth. So he had evidence to base his faith on. His faith was not based on seeing the wonder, but the evidence. The word Jesus spoke to him, and the word from his servants matching what Jesus spoke to him. And today we have that in writing. Verse 54, this is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Friends, let us remember as Christians that as we walk with the Lord from day to day, that our faith is to be based on evidence. Challenges come in the Christian walk, but we must always base our faith on evidence, not wonders. Because wonders can be deceiving. Many are being deceived today. Millions more will be deceived. We don't want to be among those deceived. We want to base our faith on evidence. And when our faith is weak, we should say the same thing as the Father in Mark 9. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Or imagine you have a child, whether still a child physically or a child of yours who has grown. Imagine they're dying physically or dying spiritually. You could cry the same thing. Sir, come down or my child die. God wants us to place our highest demands on him, friends. He wants us to bug him with our demands. He doesn't want us to leave him alone. He wants us to say the same as Jacob. Whenever our faith is weak, again, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. As Jacob, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Friends, may these be our demands, and may our faith continue to be built based on the evidence God has given us. Amen? Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for giving us Jesus, and that him we can have mercy, and that our sins can be blotted out, and that we can have the hope of eternal life. We thank you so much for giving us your Holy Scriptures, and we pray that you will help us to continue to base our faith on the evidence given us therein. And we thank you so much for sending the Holy Ghost to comfort, guide, and teach us. And we thank you for the angels guarding us, and again we thank you for giving us Jesus. In his precious name we pray, amen.